Welcome to the Armor Men's Health Hour with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Welcome to the Armor Men's Health Show. This is Dr. Mystery, your host, all-around great guy, board-certified urologist, and founder of NAU Urology Specialists, the urology group that I started in 2007, delivering holistic urologic care to men in Central Texas. Joined, as always, by Donna Lee, my co-host. Donna, welcome.
Hi. We are live and on video now, Dr. Mystery. You've only asked me, what, for 3 years to do this?
Well, so you're welcome. I have a video, so, but since you've lost all this weight, I understand you want to make sure that you're as visible as possible.
So skinny.
So, Donna, how do people get a hold of us, and how do they become our patient?
You can reach out to us at 512-238-0762. You can visit our website, armormenshealth.com, where you can submit your questions for any guests that we have, or for Dr. Mystery. Again, that's armormenshealth.com. At the top right, there's a little button that says, submit your question here, and we'll answer it anonymously. We're in Round Rock, North Austin, South Austin, and Dripping Springs, Texas, Dr. Mystery, where they love dripping.
So, we get to present one of our favorite little segments today. The That's What She Said segment, where we kind of focus on questions and issues that affect many of our female listeners. Today, we are joined by Dr. Nancy Rector Finney. She is the founder of Four Seasons OB-GYN in San Antonio. Welcome today, Nancy.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, you're an obstetrician gynecologist. Are you still doing any obstetrics, or is most of your practice really focused on gynecology?
Well, I think right now I'm about 40% OB and about 60% GYN. So I'm still delivering the babies, but very fewer than I used to.
So you work for a living.
I do work for a living.
In terms of your own education and training, where did you go to medical school and where did you do your training?
So I went to medical school at UT Houston, and then I did my residency in San Antonio at UT San Antonio.
Now, when you went through training and when I went through training, I'm really surprised at how different regular private practice and how we treat patients in the clinic was so different than what we did in training. For me, all I did was operate, and now most of my time is spent in clinic. How are things different for an OB-GYN based different from where you trained and kind of what you do in practice?
You know, I think the biggest difference is I didn't learn anything about hormonal therapy in residency. We never talked about hormones. I never treated patients with hormonal difficulties or menopausal problems, and it was just not discussed. And so all the things that I've learned about menopause, I've learned post-residency. And I think that's probably the biggest change. And also, I spend a lot of time in clinic, but I do operate a lot. And I think the biggest change in my operation is that I'm using the robot for everything now. And I never even learned about the robot when I was in residency.
It really is a testament to how evolving becoming a doctor is. Before you go to medical school, you think, well, when I finish my residency, I'll probably be a finished cake. But really, you're really just batter.
We are batter.
And so, for me, hormonal health also was something that had to be learned post-training. And what I really recognize is how, as practitioners, we are molded by the thought process of the people that taught us. And so maybe you could go through a little bit of when you were going through training, what was the general, like, what did your mentors teach you, however little, about hormone health in women? And how has that evolved over time?
When I was in residency, I think the majority of my teaching was focused on OB, on, you know, treating pregnant patients. And in the menopausal patients, we worried about prolapse. We worried about how we're going to fix things that are falling out of their vaginas, and not to use estrogen cream, not to use pelvic floor therapy. None of that was discussed. It was all on how to do anterior and posterior repairs and how we're going to do retrofinal ligament fixations and all the surgeries that we do to fix patients, but nothing about hormonal therapy whatsoever. So we would fix them and then send them off.
So over time, the view of how women should replace hormones as they go through what are expected changes with aging has really been different. The Women's Health Initiative, probably the biggest milestone of change. Maybe go through a little bit about how, you know, my joke is always that, you know, our grandmothers' mothers were probably more active than our grandmothers because of changing views regarding hormones. And I think it's because, you know, treating women with hormones isn't sexy. There's no, sexy for them, but it's not sexy for a surgeon. I mean, it's just, you know, writing prescriptions. So I think right. that when doctors were given the green light to just ignore hormones, we just took it. So maybe give me your thoughts on the changing views on hormone replacement therapy.
So in 2002, when that WHI trial came out, I learned about it in my car, listening to NPR. That's where I heard about this study that said all hormones are bad. You're going to get breast cancer, heart disease, stroke. You're going to die of a heart attack. All the horrible things that they said that hormones were causing. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so then I go into my clinic and we're madly trying to find something about this study that they've, you know, talked about on NPR and they've talked about it on the Today Show. And all these patients are calling thinking, oh my God, I'm taking a poison. This is horrible. And it really did change hormonal therapy for women. Because for 20 years, a lot of physicians, a lot of primary care doctors, a lot of family practitioners stopped reading the study and, you know, only went with that 2002 study that hormones were bad and took everybody, all of their patients off of hormones.
So what did the WHI study show and where were they wrong?
So the WHI trial, I think, is important that it had two legs. You had this faction of patients that were over the age of a random, about 65 years old, and they had a uterus and they were taking both. They were taking essentially Primpro, which is estrogen and progesterone. The other arm of the study were women who had had a hysterectomy, and they were about 40, average 40 years old, and they were on estrogen only. And all of the bad things that they had to stop the trial for were in the 65 and over age group who were taking estrogen and progesterone. They found that they had an increased risk of stroke, heart disease, pulmonary embolism, DVTs, and breast cancer. The other arm of the study, they didn't find any of that. In fact, in those women that they followed who continued to take hormonal therapy, they found that those women had less breast cancer, less heart disease, less stroke, less DVT, less colon cancer. All of the bad things that this arm says, oh my gosh, hormones are causing. The other arm, they found that, oh my gosh, these women are actually doing better. In fact, they have a 7-year longer life expectancy by staying on estrogen than the women who stopped the estrogen or never started. And
first,
I think
let me say that most people, most doctors refer to studies with arms, but an OB-GYN refers to them as legs. And I like that. I like the idea of you running with legs. So the conclusion of that study really is that starting hormones early and maintaining what we would call a hormonal balance as you go through that menopausal transition is really the key. That trying to like go to the depths of feeling terrible and then in your 60s finding second love and then trying to like, you know, rise yourself up from the bed is going to be dangerous. And so really that lesson that as you're going through these changes, that to try to maintain your hormonal health is really critical, I think, is what the conclusion of that study and numerous studies afterwards have shown it. Now, just, you know, in just 45 seconds, why do you think, you know, we tell people things all the time about their health. Why did this bad news about hormones, why do you think that like rushed through everything so quickly?
I think bad news makes news. And that's what the problem was, is that all these, you know, women, Primpro was the number one drug I wrote for, you know, secondary to probably birth control pills. So every woman was on Primpro. And then you find out that Primpro is bad. Oh my gosh, it changed so many women's lives for the worse.
I think that some of it is kind of, and I don't know if this is true, but I believe that this idea of aging, kind of accepting the changes of age, is something that some people want to do. They don't want to have to work to fight for their health as they get older, and they don't want to be expected to do so either. But I think that society is changing, and understanding the benefits of hormone replacement and hormone health early through that change is really important. And when we come back, Nancy, I'd like to discuss how we replace hormones, what dosing and techniques you use. And can you tell people how to get a hold of you there in San Antonio? What is your phone number and website?
Our name is Four Seasons OBGYN. Our phone number is 210-593-0700. And you can check our website at fourseasonsobgyn.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Armour Men's Health Show. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host, joined as always by my beautiful co-host, Donnelly.
Hi, you forgot to say skinny.
Yeah.
Probably. Don't forget my semaglutide because I did it the old-fashioned
way. It works. Fashion.
Better living through chemistry is what we say about Donna. Okay. Donna, you've been our business development manager for our practice for a number of years now. We have grown our practice into the second largest practice in Austin. You know, right. Being second biggest means that we just work a little harder, dress a little prettier. Donna, how do people get a hold of us and become our patient?
If you want to know how we're more fun on the weekends than the big group in town, you can call us at 512-238-0762. Our website is armormenshealth.com, where you can submit your questions and we'll answer them anonymously. And remember to listen to our podcasts wherever you listen to free podcasts. We are award-winning. Whether that's fake or not, we'll never know. But we are still award-winning as a podcast.
We are joined again by Dr. Nancy Rector-Finney. She is the founder and runs Four Seasons OB-GYN in San Antonio, Texas. In our last segment, we discussed how, in practice, hormone replacement therapy for her has become a major part of what she does. And we talked about how changing attitudes in regards to hormone replacement therapy are really encouraging more and more people earlier in their menopausal journey to seek care. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
So when it comes to, as soon as you make the decision that you want to get hormones, well, what are the options that women have in order to get hormones delivered to them? And what is kind of your boilerplate standard for the 47-year-old woman going through perimenopausal symptoms that still has her uterus?
So I think that's a real important point. For women who have a uterus, they have to take progesterone and estrogen. And so there's many different ways we can give estrogen. It comes, you know, I can write a prescription for pills, sprays, creams, rings. I mean, estrogen's easy. The hard part is I want to give them the right type of progesterone, because from that 2002 study, we realized that micronized progesterone is good and medroxyprogesterone is bad. And so we want
to stick progesterone in this population, because we're trying to mimic the body's steady right. state, that the uterus is not growing, preparing for an egg to be delivered. Right. So if you just give the uterus a signal to grow, then you could develop uterine cancer. But by balancing these two hormones, by giving estrogen and progesterone, we keep the uterus at a steady state. And there is no evidence that that causes uterine cancer, correct?
Exactly. I think also you don't want the uterus to bleed, because who wants to have a period after they've gone through menopause? So
it's like the only good part of menopause.
It's the only good part of menopause is that you don't have a cycle. So, right. And by doing that, by giving her progesterone, you're going to, you know, stop that bleeding from happening. And then I think what I've realized through doing this for probably 15 years is that testosterone for women is extremely important. And, you know, unfortunately, they don't make testosterone for women. There's not a pill or a patch that you can take. So anyone who is feeling fatigued, decreased sex drive, decreased muscle mass, those women, and I have every woman who comes in complaining of hormonal issues complains about those three things. And it's because their testosterone level has really gone down. And it's probably the first hormone that we see to be decreased even before a woman stops cycling, even before her estrogen and progesterone stops. You know, giving testosterone has really been, I think, a game changer for hormonal therapy.
And for us in men, we have different ways of delivering hormone replacement therapy as well. But our goal is to deliver something that's easy for the patient, that is that delivers a steady state of hormones, and is something that you can almost set it and forget it. So we use a lot of pellet therapy. I know that you do a lot of pellet therapy in women too. The idea of having to spread a cream on yourself or add something more to your regimen every day can be, you know, people can forget to do so, and it can be off-putting to stick something in your vagina or take another pill. And
right.
So we do lots of this, and we've chosen this company, BioT, to deliver and make our pellets. And they don't sponsor us, right, Donna?
Nobody sponsors us because I'm terrible at my job.
Maybe get on that, you know. But you can get these pellets from a compounding pharmacy, but I found that the integrity of the pellets doing that were not as good. What is your go-to kind of standard way of delivering medicines?
So after doing this for 15 years, I really have found that the BioT pellets are the easiest, because you're right, for women, they come in every 4 months and they don't have to do anything but take a progesterone pill at night if they have a uterus. And most women love to take their progesterone because it helps them sleep. So, you know, and sleep is another problem that you have when you go through menopause. So anything I can give them that's natural, that's going to help them sleep, is a game changer too. So BioT has been by far the easiest. And so we do a lot of pellet therapy. That's, you know, probably what most women end up doing if they're starting hormonal therapy, just because they realize how important adding testosterone to their estrogen and progesterone regimen makes, how it makes them feel. And if some women are concerned about using the pellets or having something put inside their bodies that they can't remove, then we'll offer them to be having compounded cream or rapidly dissolving tablets that they have to suck on twice a day. And, you know, some women find that that works great for them. Other women are just, you know, excuse me, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time for that. My life is too crazy. And so we're like, you know what? I think the pellet would really work well for you.
I like the suck pellet idea. Twice a day, you say?
You would.
Twice a day. Yeah. But it doesn't taste very good. That's the only problem.
Well, you know, there are things you have to do for beauty.
I know. The sacrifices one must make.
We're on the precipice of a time in which, as you know, as women live longer, as health gets better, you could see a time where women are going to live the majority of their life in menopause.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you are going to have a group or a population of miserable people who don't feel great. You know, I think it's so important for us to get the word out. Now, besides hormone replacement therapy, we've seen a sea change in the way that we're managing weight loss as well. The use of new medications is something that, you know, millions of people are on. We do quite a bit of weight loss within our own practice using these GLP-1 inhibitor medications. Are you doing a lot of that in your patient population?
We are. I think the biggest, and everybody wants to be on the GLP-1 inhibitors. I mean, that's because it really has made a huge impact on weight loss for women. I mean, I've seen women who have always struggled with their weight and never been able to lose it, or they lose a little and then it comes right back. It's like it's on a leash. And finally, you find something that women can be on for a long period of time, get down to their ideal body weight and stay there. But the big problem we have is a lot of insurance companies don't want to pay for it. And so, you know, we'll write for Wegovy or Ozempic or, you know, Mounjaro, and insurance goes, sorry, we don't do this. Unless you have diabetes, we're not going to give you this drug. And so we found a compounding pharmacy in Austin, actually, that will compound the medication. And then we have a weight loss program where we teach you how to give you the shot, how to draw up the needle, and how to maintain your slowly increasing dosage till we find one that works for your body. We do measurements. We also have a monthly weigh-in in order for you to continue receiving your medication to make sure that it's working for you. And we also draw labs at the beginning just to make sure you are healthy and there's not something else that's causing you to have problems with weight gain.
So these drug companies are trying to, you know, they want to maintain control over the access to the medicines.
Sure.
And now they're getting into the business of actually trying to practice medicine by offering online clinics to do this. I try to emphasize to my referring doctors and to my patients how important it is to have a local physician that's helping you. if you have problems, because you can have constipation and diarrhea. You can have heartburn. You can have negative side effects of these medicines, and some online doctor is not going to be the one that's going to help you manage these risks and these problems over time.
That's why we started this weight loss program, is so that we could be their go-to person to ask for, you know, advice, or I'm having this problem. What do I do? How do I, you know, how do I increase my dose? What if I am super constipated? What do I take? You know, and that's why we're there for them. And it makes a big difference, I think, having somebody who you hold accountable. So we are making sure that they do weigh-ins every month, and so that they are making, you know, change in the right direction.
Because you can become one more fad, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it's
how do people become your patient, and how do they get a hold of you?
So they just call us at 210-593-0700. And they can make an appointment, they can make a weight loss appointment, they can make a hormonal appointment, and we're happy to see them. There's two physicians in our office, myself and Dr. Karen Hasty, and then we also have two amazing nurse practitioners that do wonderful hormonal therapy and weight loss as well.
And Donna, how do people get a hold of us?
You reach out to us at 512-238-0762 or visit our website, armormenshealth.com.